Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Kuf Yud Alef. We begin in the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara was discussing regarding the halachas of the previous Mishnayos regarding those groups that do not have a portion of the world to come. The Gemara pointed out that although Rabbi Kiva generally had chasiduse, he was pious, that he would go beyond in his interpretation of finding favor for the Jewish people regarding certain psukim. However, there were exceptions regarding the Dor HaMidbar and the Aseres HaShvatim, that there he interpreted that they do not have a portion of the world to come, unlike how he usually would. Now, related to that, the Gemara brings three different machlekes in with Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish regarding the interpretation of psukim, if it's how favorable or unfavorable it is, again, depending on how one interprets the pasuk. So the pasuk in Yeshayah says, "L'chein therefore, hechiva sha'el nafsha, a Gehenna opens up its soul, ufarufiyah l'blichayk, and it opens up its mouth without measure." So Amar Shlakish, he says, "What's l'blichayk? L'mish meshayar fel chayk echad, that someone that leaves over even one statute that he doesn't safeguard, he's going to be judged in Gehenna." That's what it says. Gehenna opens up its mouth l'blichayk for someone that doesn't have even one mitzvah that he didn't fulfill, he's going to get judged in Gehenna. On that, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lo nichal merayu, it's not pleasing for their master," meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want that you should say and interpret the pasuk like this, that everybody's going to be judged in a guilty way because there's no person that's perfect. So he's saying if one mitzvah they fail in, then they're going to get judged in Gehenim. Ela rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk saying, "Afil lo lamar el chayk echad," only if they didn't even follow even one mitzvah, then upar apia, then Gehenim's going to swallow it up. Because they didn't do even one mitzvah, but it's not saying that if you miss even one, then you're going to get judged again. Similarly, the pasuk says in Zechariah B'hoya that it's going to be B'chol Ha'aretz in the entire land. Noam Hashem says Hashem, Pishnayim ba yukarsu yigvo. Two portions of them will be cut off and they'll pass away. Vashlishas yivaser ba, and the third will survive. Which this is at the end of days. So Amar Shlakish, he says, what's this third? Shlishi shel shame. It's a third of the children, the descendants of Shame, who is from the three sons of Noach. Meaning, he interprets this shlishis that's going to be survived is that there's two portions of the entire world will be cut off, and a third will survive. Now, which third is that? When we're saying shlishis, he Rish Lakish understands every third that we make in thirds. Meaning, the world really comes from Noach because the world was wiped out by the Mabel. And he had three sons. So a third of his sons is Shem. Now, a third of Shem's sons is Arpachshad. Like the Pasuk says, the sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arpachshad. The third was Arpachshad. And Lud and Aram. Now, we would assume that it's from the descendants of Arpachshad that there's where the remnant is going to be, since the Jewish people come out from Arpachshad. Now, we have a third of Arpachshad, who's a third of Shem, who's a third of Noach that's going to survive, but the rest of the world's going to be cut off. Now, according to Rish Lakish, it comes out that there's going to be a great loss of the Jewish people, because from Arpachshad comes out the Jewish people, like it says in Parshas Noach, Arpachshad gave birth to Shelach, Shelach gave birth to Eber, Eber gave birth to Peleg, all the way to Avraham Avinu. Now, when you go ahead and you split up into three parts, the descendants of Arpachshad, so you have, for example, the Jewish people, you have the Ishmaelites, who are the sons of Avram, you have the children of Lot and of Haran, and all the other nations that come out from them, if you split it up into three portions, maybe the Jewish people is going to be a large chunk of that, and it's going to be a lot of Yidden that are going to pass away, and because you're not going to have from the older descendants of Arpachshad to be two-thirds, unless if the Jewish people supplement for the majority or half, so it comes out a lot of Jews are going to pass away from those two-thirds from the descendants of Arpachshad. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says to him, "Lo nichal merayu." It's not pleasing to their master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Amar Lu Hachi, that you say this, that you're diminishing the Jewish people so much. Ella, rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, "Afila shlishi shel Noach," that even a third of the descendants of Noach, in other words, from all the sons of Noach, which is the entire world, is going to be survived a third. Now, we would assume that third that's going to survive is going to be the Jewish people. Now, if the Jewish people are not so much to be a third of the world, but then you could include the converts and the pious non-Jews would complete that to be a third. And if they're more than a third, so it will be diminished a little bit, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not going to be a great loss of the Jewish people like it is the Rish Lakish at the end of days. That's one interpretation Rashi has from his teacher. Another one is that According to Rish Lakish, when it says in the pasuk Shlishis, it means a third of the descendants of Shem. Because the word Shlishis sounds like two-thirds, meaning a third of a third. That's why it says Shlishis, a third of the descendants of Shem. Where it says that the sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, and the Jewish people come from Arpachshad. And a third of Arpachshad is a third of Shem, that's going to be survived, which is a third of the Jewish people. Rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, no, a third means a third of the descendants of Noach. In other words, the entirety of Arpachshad will be survived because he's a third of the descendants of Noach, because Shem is the third son of Noach, like it says of Noach or Shem Cham and Yafes, so he's a third. Now Arpachshad was the third of Shem, so a third of that third, which is going to survive, is Arpachshad, which all the Jewish people come from. All of them will survive, according to this version of the interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan. The third machlokes they had was a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hashem says, "Ki enochi be'alti bekem." He says to the Jewish people that I've become your master over you. V'lekachti eschem, and I'll take from you echad mi'ir v'shnayim mi'mishpacha, one from a city and two from a family. So Amash Lakish, it says, "Dvarm k'ksavan." The pasuk is literally like it's written, meaning that in the future the only ones from the Jewish people that are going to survive is one from a city and two from a family. So Amalei Rabbi Yechon said to him, it's not pleasing to their master, to Hashem, that you say this, that most of the Jewish people are going to pass away. Ella rather says Rabbi Yechon, what the pasuk means is echad mi'ir mezak kol ir kula, that one Jew from a city will give merit to the entire city. So when it says v'lakachti echad mi'ir, I'll take one from a city, because of that one pious person in the city, I'll take the whole city because of that. And so too, v'shnayim mishpacha mezakeh kol mishpacha kula, and two from a family will give merit to the entire family to survive. Now Yosef Rav Kahana kamed Rav Yosef Kama, and they had the same achlekes. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav, and he was saying that the pasuk is dvarm k'ksav, and he said like Rish Lakish, that it means literally that only one of a city or two of a family will survive. Amalei Rav, so Rav, like Rabbi Yechanan, said to him, it's not pleasing for their master that you say this, rather one from a city merits the entire city, and two from a family merits the entire family. Now, however, the story, the narrative continues, that Chazi, Rav saw to Rav Kahana, that he was shampooed, and that he was taking care of himself in a physical, mundane way, when he should have been busy learning Torah. V'salak v'yosef came to Rav, and he came and he sat down in front of Rav to learn. So Amaleis, Rav said to him, quoting a pasuk in Eiv, "V'loy timatze be'eretz achayim," he will not be found in the land of the living, which sounds like that he's cursing him, that he's not going to come to the Olam Haba, to the world to come. So Amaleis, Rav Kahana said to Rav, "Meili kalaitesli, are you cursing me?" Amaleis says, "No, krok hamin, I'm just saying a pasuk. Loy timatze Torah be'mishem achayatz maleo, Torah is not found by those who have to delicate, who are have to enjoy themselves with physical mundane activities. You're busy taking care of yourself. That person has to do the basics, but engaging in these practices, a person is not found in Eretz Chaim," referring to the words of Torah. Now, related to what we said before, Tanya Lutna Braisa, Reb Shemaya, he says, Nemet says in the pasuk in Shemais, "V'lekachti eschem li la'am." Like we said before, that Hashem says, I took you, the Jewish people. So this pasuk in Shema says, "V'lekachti eschem li'lam," I took you for myself as a people. Now, Benevet says, it says after that, "V'hevesi eschem," and I brought you to Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara, "Makash t'tziyasin me'mitzrayim l'biyasin la'aretz." The pasuk is comparing, equating these two pesukim. They're leaving Egypt to come into Eretz Yisrael, which is Mabiyas and La'aretz, just like when they came to Eretz Yisrael, Shnayim Misamech Riba, they were only 2 out of 600,000, meaning from the whole Dar HaMidbar, only 2 from the 600,000 men survived, which is Yeshua and Kalev, as the Gemara says in Baba Basad of Kofchav Alev and Manalv, that the decree was for the men between 20 and 60, and from those age bracket, they all died out besides 2 people. So that's teaching us, Afyat Siyas Mimitzrayim Sutu, when they left Egypt, was Shnayim Misamech Riba, was only 2 out of 600,000, meaning from every 600,000 Jews in Egypt, only a ratio of 2 per that amount was survived, because there were that many more Jews who passed away in the 3 days of darkness in the Makav Cheshech, so that the Egyptians should not see about the downfall of the Jewish people, but really, very few left from the amount that there was. And Amar Rabbi, he says, "V'chein l'moysa Mashiach." So too applies for the days of the Mashiach, that there's only going to be a ratio for every 600,000 Jews, only two are going to survive. Shema, it says the pasuk in Hosea, says va'ansa shama kemenu reho, that they're going to be aniyim, they're going to be downtrodden and poor like their days of youth, which is ukayim aloisam eretz mizraim, like the days that came out from Egypt, which just like over there was 2 out of 600,000. So too yimaisa mashiach. Tanya learned the braisa. Once we mentioned the idea about Yitzias Mitzrayim in Egypt, so Amar Belozer Rabbi Yisi says, "Pamachas nechnasti l'Alexander shel Mitzrayim." One time I went to Alexandria, that's in Egypt. Mitzasi zaken echad v'amali, I found an elderly Egyptian who told me, "Boivaracha ma'asu avos l'besecha." Come, I'm going to show you what my ancestors did to your ancestors. Mehem tova bayam. Some of them they drowned in the sea. Mehem hogu b'charav. Some of them they killed by the sword. Mehem mocha b'binyan. Some of them they crushed into the wall, meaning they built around the children, like instead of using bricks, they used babies. But Dovazed Nenesh Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's actually regarding this that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, because when he saw what was being done to the Jewish people, he started complaining and thinking regarding the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalom, like says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Me'oz u'me'oz basi al pari l'dabe b'shmecha, from when I started coming to Pari to speak in your name, that you sent me to Egypt to redeem them, Heir olam hazeh, they started doing bad to the people, it actually made it worse. I'm like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chaval al da'avd in m'loy mishtachin. What a loss, woe to the lost which is not found anymore. Meaning it's a great loss regarding the great ones that are not around anymore, and I can't find pious people like those, where you're not like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who they never thought regarding my attributes. They never thought twice about it. There were many times that I revealed myself to the Avos with the name of Kel Shakai, where I told them, as the Pasuk in Bereishis Lamhei says, Ani Kel Shakai Perei Revei, or in Perikid Zayin, Ani Kel Shakai Esalach Lefonim Vayitamim, and I gave them guarantees regarding Eretz Yisrael to him and to his children. V'lehira al midoisei, and they never thought twice, never contemplated in a negative way regarding my attributes. V'lo yamuli mashemecha, and they never told me, what's your name, like you did, but you wanted to understand and have a guarantee. Where Hashem says, "Amarti l'Avram," I said to Avram Avinu, "Kum hesalach ba'aretz la'arko l'rachbo kilchot nano." Go on the land and travel it, its length and its width, because to you I'm going to give it to you. And yet, although Hashem promised the land to Avram Avinu, bikish makom likver es sar, but all he wanted was to find a small piece of land to bury his wife Sarah, and they couldn't find. Atchakana medal meir shekel kesem, until he had to pay for maris machpelah 400 silver coins. V'lahir al midaisei, and although it's his and he had to pay so much, he didn't think twice about my attributes. So to Hashem says, "Amarti Yitzchak, I said to Yitzchak, gur ba'aretz hazois, ve'eye imcha v'avrechecha, dwell in this land, I'll be with you, I'll bless you." Yet bikshu avodav mayim lishtois, v'lei matzu, his servants went to look for water, and they didn't find, at sha'asim riba, until they had to actually have a dispute with the inhabitants. You know, like it says in the pasuk, ve'yuribu rei grar, and rei Yitzchak, le'melon amayim. They couldn't even get water without having a dispute, the shepherds of Gro, with the shepherds of Yitzchak, where the shepherds of Gro were saying, no, it's our water. And yet, although I told him I'm going to bless him, and he couldn't even get water, he didn't think after my attributes. So to Matil Yaakov, I said to Yaakov, the land which you're laying on, I'm going to give to you. Yet Bikush Mokum Lentoya Olive Lamatza, he looked just for a place to pitch his tent, and didn't find Achakana Beme Gesita until he had to pay 100 Gesita to go ahead and dwell over there in Shechem. Volahir Achimidaisi, yet he did not think after my attributes. Volah Omuli Mashamecha, he didn't tell me, oh Hashem, what's your name, which is the essence to understand what's going on. Vahata Martali Mashamecha Betchilin, you started off by saying, what's your name? And moreover, Akshav, and now that you're thinking after my attributes, like saying, hey, what's going on? It's getting worse. Ato Emily, you're telling me, V'hatzer lo yitzaltes amecha. You're not saving your people. So, in punishment, the Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, Ata tira asher esel lefari. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paroi. Which sounds like that this time you're going to see the miracles that I'm going to do to the Egyptians. But b'mochemes paratar, right? That means to say that only by the war against Par you're going to see v'yataroy b'mochemes shleishem echem melachim, you're not going to see in the war against the 31 kings in Canaan, because you're not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Now the pasuk says in Shemais, v'yimahar Moshe, that Moshe was quick, v'yikut arzav v'yishtocho, and he kneeled and he bowed down. Says the Gemara, Maro Moshe, what did Moshe see? And this was at the time which mentions the Yidgimel Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attributes of kindness. What did he see? What attribute was it of those 13 attributes that he saw and he bowed down? Shabchanina ben Gamlam, he says, the pasuk right before that, which Erech HaPayim Ra, it mentions that Hashem is slow to anger, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, and he was grateful for that, and that's what he bowed down in praise. Rabbanan, I mean, they say it's one of the other ones, Emes Ra. He saw the Midah, which is called Emes, truth, and he was afraid that if Hashem judges with truth, then the Jewish people will be liable to be wiped out if Hashem judges them with a complete judgment. And therefore, when it says he bowed down, it was in prayer and beseeching Hashem not to judge them according to their actions. Now, says the Gemara, Tanikam Adama Ercha Paimra. We learned in the Braisa that supports the opinion that says that what he saw that he was thankful for was the attribute of slow to anger. Because the time of the Olam Moshe Lamar, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, when he went to receive the Torah, Matzla Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheyesh V'Kosev Erech HaPayim, he so to speak saw Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting and writing in the Torah that he is slow to anger. So Am Lefanu, he said in front of Hashem Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the World, Erech HaPayim L'Tzadikim, who are you slow to anger for the righteous? So Am Alei, after Hashem, no, Hashem said no, even for the wicked. Am Alei, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Rishon Yevedu, the wicked should be wiped out. You shouldn't have Erech HaPayim slow to anger for them. So Amalei, Hashem said to him, Hashta chazas my debayalach. You're going to see now that what you're going to need. Because Keshachatu Yisrael, the Bresa tells us when the Jewish people sinned, Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Loikach amartli, didn't you tell me, Erech HaPayim letzadikim, that my attribute of slow to anger should be only for the righteous and not for the wicked? However, as we continue to Midbeis, Amalefonav, Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of Hashem, but Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the World, Loikach amartli, but didn't you tell me, after Hashem, that's even for the wicked? That's what Pasuk says in Bamidbar, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Va'ata, and now Yigdal no Koyach Hashem, when he was beseeching mercy because of the sin of the eagle, that now it should become great, the power of Hashem, Kasha Dibar Talima, that you said, saying, which then it talks about the 13 attributes of mercy, which that's why it's logical, like the opinion that he saw Erech HaPayim, because once he saw the attribute by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's Erech HaPayim, even for the wicked, that's when he rejoiced, and that's when he bowed down in thankfulness, and that's what he was referring back now, saying that Hashem, but you promised that you'll be Erech HaPayim, even for the wicked, who the Jews now had sinned. Gemara tells Reb Chaga, HaBasalik V'Ozel B'Dargi D'Bei Rabbi Barshila, Reb Chaga was going up, on the ladder, the steps going up to the yeshiva of Rabbi Bar Shila, and Shamelah Yunuka Do'ama, when he was going up the steps, he heard a child saying a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Eidosecha Nem Nemu'id, your testimony is referring to the words of Torah, very trustworthy. Leveischa Nava Kodesh, that holiness befits your house. Hashem Lo'yuchim Hashem for length of days. What does it mean, length of days? That's the midah of Erech HaPayim, which he waits time, many days. It was regarding that that Moshe Rabbeinu was referring in that pasuk that Eidosecha Nem Nemu'id, which that concept is very trustworthy, which that's what he saw by Har Sinai, which he was thankful for that Hashem has this midah of Lo'irichim of Erech HaPayim. Now this pasuk that's said over here in Tehillim, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who said that, because earlier, V'samachle, it says three prakim before that, which these parakim in Tehillim from Perek Tzadi on, which it says Tfilah Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is a prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, were said by Moshe Rabbeinu, including in Perek Tzadi Gimel. So Amar, so Reb Chagi said, Shema Meno Erech HaPayim Ra, obviously what he saw was Erech HaPayim, and that's what he was praising Hashem, that, oh, in the Sechan Emanu Oid, which is La'erich Yamim, which is the attribute of Erech HaPayim, for that he was thankful, that's even for the Rishon. Amr Blazar Ram Khanini says, Asra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lias a Torah Barish called Tzadik V'Tzadik. In the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a crown on the head of every single righteous person. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Bayema Hu Yi Hashem Tzavakas. Now that day, Hashem, the Lord of Hosts, will be La Teresavi for a crown of desire, will it Tzvir Tefara and another type of a crown, an adorned crown of splendor, Lashar Amoy for the remnant of his people, Vugayim, etc. Says the Gemara, Maila Teres Tzvi will it Tzvir Tefara. What does it mean, a crown of desire and an adorned crown of splendor? So the word Tzvi means desire, lo'esim ritzayna, for those who do his desire, I mean those who do the will of Hashem. And the word Tzfira has the word Tzadifei, umitzapim lishuasai, and also the people who long and yearn for his salvation. Those are the people who are going to merit the salvation of Hashem. Now, says the Braisa Yochel HaKol, you would think that whoever does Hashem's desire, even if they're arrogant, they're going to have the splendor of Hashem on them. Tamalei melashar ama, that's what the Pasuk says, for the remnant of his people. What does that mean? L'mishameisim asme kishraim, whoever makes himself like remnants, meaning that's not significant, like it's just leftovers, so too he's not significant in his eyes. He's not arrogant, that's someone who merits that salvation. Now the Pasuk also says over there, that also merits, l'ruach mishpat, l'yeshiv al hamishpat, to the spirit of judgment, to one who sits on judgment, u'l'gvura, Mishive Melchama Shara, and for the mighty who turn back the war to the gate of their enemy, those are also the individuals. What does that mean? When it says with the ruach mishpat to a spirit of judgment, meaning someone that judges his spirit, zeharoides yitzir, this is someone who subdues his inclination, where he fights back against his inclination and he does tshuva from the sin that he did in the past. When it says that he who sits in judgment, this refers to someone who judges a court case according to its truthful honesty. And to the mighty, this refers to someone who's strong on his inclination, as the Gemara Bracha says, he's margis the Yetzer Tov on the Yetzer Hara, he overpowers his good inclination over the evil inclination. In other words, if his Yetzer Hara tells him, do this sin, not only does he not do that sin, rather he goes and he does a mitzvah. And that's why it's mentioned later that this concept of gvura, someone who is misgaber, is even more than the ruach mishpat, more than someone who is ready to be yitzre. There he just subdues it. Here he actually overpowers it. Actually, instead of doing that there, he does a mitzvah. Meshiva mochama, he returns back the war. This refers to someone who could deal with the war of Torah, meaning to say he knows how to learn Torah very well. That's Meshiva, he's able to respond and to ask in the so to speak war of Torah. Shara to the gate, this refers to the Batik and Nesis, to the shuls. Elusha Meshkimin Umadivin Batik and Nesis of Avad Midrasha. This refers to someone who comes early and stays late in the Beis HaKnesses and in the study hall. Now, Amar Midas Zadin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of justice says in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbanu Shel, Master of the World, Manishtanu Elu, what's different about these individuals who we just discussed that have these attributes who merit this salvation, Me'elu from these, meaning from the rest of the people that don't merit. Amallah, that's what Hashem says to the Midas Adin, that because Vagam Elan, also these, meaning the rest of the people that don't have these Midas, Be'yayin Shagu, they err in wine, Be'shecher To, and they stumble in intoxicating drink, vugayim, etc. Paku palilia, they stumble in palilia, in judgment. But now, ve'im puka el gehenim. The reason why they get gehenim, that's what the pasuk is saying, because puka, the stumbling, refers to gehenim. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that a begal told David, leitia zeis l'chala puka. This shouldn't be for you a stumbling, which was referring to that he's going to get gehenim for this act. Now, ve'im palila el dayanim, and the word palila refers to judgment. To judges, Shnemach says the pasuk in Shemayis, "V'nasim eflilim," that he gives the payment with judges. So that's what we see in the pasuk, that the gehenim comes for those who are judges who are not don denemis la'amitoi. That's what Hashem is saying. Just like people that are drunk, that are not doing the right thing, so too are people that don't have these midas, and like one of them are being don denemis la'amitoi. The person is not. That's a person who gets gehenim for not having these midas. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on different groups of people that do not have a portion in the world to come. Anshi Eran Nidachas, the men of the subverted city, which is, as we'll see, the parameters of that, which they had people who pushed the majority of the inhabitants to do Avodah Zarah, and they get wiped out by the sword. Ein Lam Chegam Abba, they do not have a portion of the world to come. So like it says the pasuk in Devarim, it says Yatsu Anoshim Bnei B'Liyal Mekabechet. It's going to come out men who don't have a yoke of heaven on them from your midst. When it says that they come out mikirbecha, that's saying that they're not part of the midst of the Jewish people, that they don't have a portion of the world to come. V'yidichu es yeshvi irim, and that they subvert, they push away the dwellers of their city, meaning they get them to do avodah zarah too. Now, based on those words, says the Mishnah, ve'ein eragim ad sheyu madcheo mo'isa irim mo'isa ha'shebet. The people of that city do not get killed out in the way of Eran Nidachas until the ones who push them and incite them to do avodah zarah is from that same city and from that same tribe. And that's why it says mikirbecha, from your midst, meaning from the midst of that shevet and that city itself. Also, another criteria is vachyudach ruba, until the majority of the inhabitants are subverted to do avodah zarah, because like it says in the pasuk, it says yishvi iram, the settlers of their city, which either it's from the word of yishvi, which it sounds like that the settlement of the city, meaning the majority of the inhabitants, or another interpretation, up until the majority are yudach, because it says mikirbecha, where that could be read mirubecha, from your majority. But either way, it has to be the majority that get pushed to do avodah zarah. And vachiyaduchu anoshim, until it's men that get the people to do avodah zarah, like the pasuk says, anoshim b'nei b'liyal, has to be men. Whereas hidichu nashim mekatanim, if let's say it's women or minors who get the inhabitants to do avodah zarah, a shehudach miuta, or if only a minority of the inhabitants are subverted to do avodah zarah, or for the ones who pushed them to Avodah Zarah were people from the outside, not from that city, then those who did Avodah Zarah in that city are like individuals who get skila, they get stoned to death, but their money is not wiped out, is not burnt. Now continues the Mishnah. Another criterion in the Eran Eidach is b'tzrichin beis edim v'hasro l'kol echad v'echad. You need to have two witnesses and a warning for every single person of that Eran Eidach that's going to get killed, as the Gemara explains. Now continues the Mishnah, zechem b'yichidim m'berubim. This is the stringency that applies to when an individual does a avodah zarah from the majority, meaning from when the Eran Eidach, when there's a group of a whole city that does a avodah zarah. Because shayichidim eskila, an individual does a avodah zarah, gets stoned. And that's a stringency, that he gets the greater death penalty of skila, whereas Saif, but since he gets the stringency of skila, since he was so stringent with his death penalty, therefore they were lenient with regarding his money, and his money is speared. Whereas Vamarubin Besaif, when there's a majority of a city, who that's called Eran Eidachas, they get killed by being beheaded, so since they were lenient regarding their death penalty, therefore their money is wiped out. Now the Pasuk says in Devarim, Haki Takas, that you have to wipe out the inhabitants of that city with the sword. Now the word Yeshvi here teaches us Hachamaris Vagamelas Tayveris Mimakam Mokam, the donkey and the camel drivers that are passing by from place to place. From the fact that I use the terminology of Yeshve, sounds like that it just has to be people that are settled, even though they're not primary inhabitants of the city. So therefore, the camel drivers and the donkey drivers that are just delayed in the city for at least 30 days, as the Gemara explains, are considered yesh v'hi'ir, and therefore hare elu matzil noisa. If the majority of the people of the city were hudach, but if you count together the chamam and the gamolim together with the minority, and that makes them the majority, that would save the city that not to be considered eran eidachas, and therefore the money doesn't get wiped out. Rather, you would judge those who did avodah zarah like individuals. Now, the truth is, they would also cause a city to become eran eidachas. If, let's say, they would complement the eran eidachas to make them a majority of doing avodah zarah, it's just that what we would assume is that the donkey drivers and the camel drivers are not part of the philosophy of the people of the city. They just happen to be there for a month, and therefore they wouldn't generally get nidach with them, and therefore we would count them as those who would save by not doing avodah zarah, but the truth is it would be either way. Now, the Girsa takes out the other sources of the Pesukim from the word Shenemar, because each one is its own halacha, teaching a concept. Pasuk says, Hachrim Isa Beskola Shabbat. You have to wipe out the city and whatever's inside of it, Besbehemta Lefichar, and the animals with the sword. Says the Mishnah, Mekan Amr, from here they said that Nichsi Tzadikim Shabbatoich Oivdin, the assets of a righteous person that's in that city has to be wiped out. Whatever's inside has to be wiped out. But Shabbatutzla, Palaitin, whatever's outside of it, is saved because it's not in the city. But from the wicked people, the wicked people, whatever's inside and even outside the city, is wiped out. And the Gemara is going to explain from the word kol, every comes to include even from the Shem what's outside. Continues the mission, the Pasuk says, v'eskol shalala tikbetz al teich rechav v'gamer, that all the booty that you gather, you bring it to the city center, to the square, and that's where you wipe it out. That's where you destroy everything from that city. Now, says the Mishnah, im ein la rechayv, if the city doesn't have a city square, oisin la rechayv, so you make for it a square. Because the Mishnah understands it, al teich rechayv, it could even be if you made it right now. You could make it, but you have to have a city square. Says the Mishnah, ha'is rechav chutzlaf, let's say they had a city square, but it's outside, meaning the gathering place of the city was outside the city, then you gather it inside, into the city, because again, you have to have that the square is inside of it, which that's the public square, as it says that you gather it into the rechava, which is inside the city, you can't have it outside the city. Mishnah continues, the Pasuk says, v'sarafta be'esha se'ir v'skol shalol, you burn the fire, the city, and all its booty, kol Hashem akecha, totally wiped out, burnt up for Hashem your God. Now when it says shalolah, its booty of the city is v'loy shalol shamayim, but not the booty of heaven, meaning, because actually that which is the booty from the city of heaven is saved. And Mekan Amr, from here they said, Ha-Hakdesha Shebayifta, because it's not the shalala of the city, although it's in the city, it's owned by Hekdesh, by Hashem. So from here they said, Ha-Hakdesha Shebayifta, if there's something of Hekdesh in the Eran Eidachas, it has to be redeemed. In other words, it's not burnt. Rather, it's like any other item of Hekdesh, which has to be redeemed. And Betrumas Yirkavu, if there's Truma there, then it rots. You don't burn it. The Gemara explains actually it's Toma Truma that a Kohen already has, where it's the Kohen's money, and really like anything of the Issa Ben Nedachas, it should be burnt, but we don't go ahead and burn it with all the other booty because it's still called Kaidish, so we're not going to disgrace it so much by burning it, but that's why they have to leave it that it should rot. And Meiser Sheni, regarding the second type, produce that's there in the Erne Dachas, even though that's eaten by a regular Yisrael, but since it's called Kaidish in the Pasuk, so we don't say that it's burnt, but rather it gets buried, it gets hidden away. So too, but Kisvei HaKodesh, Gunzer, and also the holy writings that are there in the Erne Dachas, it gets hidden away, but it doesn't get burnt with the city. Now the Pasuk says, Kalul Hashem Lekecha, that it's totally burnt up for Hashem your God. So Amar B'Shimon says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, Im atem oisin din be'erne dachas, if you do a judgment in the subverted city, and you wipe them out, and you burn up all their stuff, mala ani aleichem kilo atem malam oila, I'm going to consider as if you brought up a carbon oila, which is kal lefane, which is totally burnt up in front of me. That's the significance of judging the erne dachas. Now the Pasuk says, V'hoisa tel oila, it should be an everlasting pile of rubble. What that means is, he says that means you can't make gardens out of it, you can't make orchards out of it, nothing can be done with it, it has to remain rubble forever. Now Rabbi Kiva Aimer, he however says, and the Gemara is going to explain what's the machlokes, the Pasuk says, it can't be rebuilt again. Which says Rabbi Kiva, that means the Kamei Shahaisa, like how it was, which was built with buildings. That's anonymous, it cannot be built. But it could be made into gardens and orchards. Now the Pasuk says, it cannot be remaining in your hand anything from the spoils from that city. Which Mishnah teaches us, because Shekozman Sherashon Ba'olam, as long as there's wickedness in the world, Charenaf Ba'olam, there's anger in the world. Of the Rasham and Ba'olam, when the wicked are wiped out from the world, Nistalik Charenaf Ba'olam, then the anger from Hashem is wiped out from the world. Now Tanabam Lunna Braisa, which explains this Pasuk, by the Iran Nidachas, which is in Devarim Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, says that Yatzu Anoshim B'nevel Yal Mekarbecha, it's going to come out men from that are lawless men from your midst. For Yedicha Es Yeshu Irim Loim, they're going to subvert the settlers of their city, saying Neilcha V'Navde Lehim Achem Ashle Yedatim. Let's go and serve other gods which they don't know. So each word here, the Brisa Tarabon Linda Brisa explains when it says that Yatzu they go out means Hein V'Loi Shluchen. Them and not their agents. Meaning if the Madichim themselves go out and subvert people, and they subvert the majority of the inhabitants, then they get judged by the sword. But if they subvert only by sending agents, messengers, then even if a majority of the inhabitants will do Avodah Zarah, they'll still be judged like individuals with skila, and their money will be saved. So when it says that if it's going to go out, Anoshim, men, in Anoshim Pochas Mibes, that's in the plural, so men is not less than two. So if let's say there was one guy who was Madiach, the majority of inhabitants, that would not make it into Erne Dachas. Dabach, another interpretation, says, Anoshim men, which is B'loi Noshim, but not women. The subverters have to be men. And also it says, Anoshim men, B'loi Ketan, but not minors. When it says, it calls them B'nei V'leyal, men without an oil, without a yoke, meaning, Banim Sheparko Ol Shemayim Etzavreim, refers to sons, to men, who threw off the yoke of heaven from the neck. That's the type of people that have to be to create it into Erne Dachas by being Madiach, the inhabitants. So it says that if they're going to come out Mikirbecha from your midst, sounds like in the middle, that's what the midst is, V'loim in Asfar, but not at the boundary. If let's say the city was at the boundary between the non-Jews, non-Jewish settlement and Jewish settlement, that city cannot become Erne Dachas, that's Gzeir Zakasa, but the decree of the Torah, that an Erne Dachas has to be Mikirbecha from your midst. So it says that they're going to be Madiach, Yeshvi Irim, the settlers of their city, which tells us, V'loi Yeshvi Ir Acheres, but not the settlers of another city, because as we said, the Madichim cannot be from the outside, they have to be from inside the city itself. And the Pasuk says that they go out and they try to push people, Lamer saying, which is, as the Pasuk says, Nilcha B'Navda, let's go ahead and serve other gods. Now, it sounds like that they're telling us, the court in front of us, that that's what they had said to the people, Nilcha B'Navda, let's go ahead and serve. Now, who's coming and telling us the court must be with witnesses. So obviously, says the Braisa, Shetzrichim Eidim V'Hastrol Kol Echad V'Echad, that we need to have witnesses and a warning for every single participant of that Erne Dachas, that there should be testified what these Madichim had said, and so too that there has to be a warning for every single person that was Nidach, has to have, as we said in our Mishnah, a Hasra and Eidim that they did this. And then if it's a majority, then they'll get the halachas of Eir HaNedachas. Now, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Itmar to following Machloikis. Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Cholkin Eir Achas, that in the beginning, when they split up Eretz Yisrael, they were permitted to go ahead and split up one city, L'shnei Shvatim, for two tribes. So, for example, let's say if it happened that there was a city that was on the boundary and part of it wasn't, because they split up Eretz Yisrael into boundaries. So if one city was part of the boundary of one and part of the boundary of the other one, because they went and they made a geirul to split up Eretz Yisrael, so if let's say Naphtali came up, so there was the boundary of Genuser went up with it too, as the Gemara says, a Mabasar Kovchav Bezim et Alf. So let's say if one city was partly in one boundary, partly another one. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so that's what they did. They split the city into two tribes. The Shlakosham, he says, no, in Chalkin Arachas Lebei Shvatim, you don't split up one city into two tribes. Rather, that entirety of that city is going to go to the tribe that the majority is in their boundary. Now, Eitz Rabbi Yochanan Shlakosh. Rabbi Yochanan asked for a Shlakosh from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, and the talochas of Eir HaNedachas is only achayu madicheo moisi, ir moisi shebet. That until the ones who are subverting the people of Avodah Zarah have to be from that city and from that tribe. So says Rabbi Yechanan, my love, isn't it telling us that avagav de midicheo moisi ir, even if the subverters would be from that city, on that the second criterion is, the Mishnah is telling us, iike moisi shebet in. Only if additionally is also from that tribe, then the city becomes Eir HaNedachas. Iloi loi, but if not, not. If he's not from that tribe, which is Hudach, rather he's from a different tribe from that city, then it's not going to be with Saif, rather it's going to be with Skila. So obviously we see that it's possible that it can be from that city and not from that tribe. How is that possible? Obviously, says Rabbi Yechanan, because they could split one city into two tribes. Obviously you see that you can split one city into two tribes. And that says, Rosh Lakish, no. Truthfully, I could tell you that we don't split one city into two tribes. So how can you have that the Madiach would be from that city but not from that tribe? That would be either Yerusha, where he has an inheritance in part of the city because, like the halacha is, that a daughter could inherit her parents and then she marries a man from a different tribe. So one city, although it's part of one tribe, could go to another inhabitant that's from a different tribe. Or Inami, the Avu, and the Halei B'Matan that was given to him as a gift from someone from that tribe. So you could have a city inhabitant that's from a different tribe, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that you have to have both, but not that it's split amongst two different tribes. But the Gemara continues, Eisvei, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan asks to Rish Lakish from a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua. It says, Orim Tesha, there were nine cities, Me'eshnei HaShvatim Eila, from these two tribes, meaning from the tribe of Yehuda and from the tribe of Shimon, that they went and they took nine cities and gave it to the Levium. Says Rabbi Yechanan, my love, isn't it telling us that Arba Palga Mahai, how can you have nine from two? Very simple fractions, is that they took four and a half from one tribe and four and a half from another tribe, meaning that there must have been one city that was shared by Yehuda and Shimon, and it's from them that they took that half, but the two of them. Obviously you see that you can split up one city amongst two tribes. Says the Gemara, no. Rish Lakish would tell you, Arba Mahai, V'chamesh Mahai, how'd you get nine? Four from one and five from the other tribe. And that has the Gemara, Yehach Lefrushe Perushe, but if that's the case, then it should have specified which tribe did they take five from and which did they take four from. Why did it say that they took nine from both of them, which sounds like that they were equal four and a half and four and a half? Says the Gemara, it's a good tin type of Kofi Bezim and Alf, Kasha, yes, it's difficult. The terminology of the Pasuk is difficult to explain according to the one who says you don't split, because if you don't split, then it should have said five and four. But again, as Rashi points out, the word Kasha is not a Tiyufta, it's not a refutation. It could be that it was five and four, but Rabbi Yechanan still has a good question saying, but if you're saying that you can't split it up, it should have specified which one was five and which one was four, instead of saying nine. Nine would sound like that, yeah, because they gave evenly, so we're just saying the sum total, which is four and a half and four and a half, which according to Rish Lakish is not the case.